The Domino Effect. Greek troubles hit world markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. German Chancellor Angela Merkel meets with deep pockets today to discuss the bailout of Greece. Those deep pockets include the International Monetary Fund and the European Central Bank. World markets have been tanking after Standard & Poor's downgraded Greece's debt to junk status. Stephen Beard has more.
The IMF is reported to be planning to offer Greece a bigger loan, an extra $13 billion. But some of Greece's European partners are showing less enthusiasm for helping out. Germany seems the most reluctant. The German people are strongly opposed to a bailout, believing that Greece is essentially bust. The crisis has spilled well beyond Greece's borders. Investors have also been dumping Portuguese government bonds. Spanish and Italian bonds could be next in the line of fire, says Neil McKinnon of VTB Capital Group.
There's a systemic risk here that if bond investors do suffer losses, which they already are, anyone who's bought Greek bonds this year is already suffering a heavy loss, there is a feeling that other countries might go down the same route.
And he says this is why the Greek crisis has gone global. Many governments, having bailed out their banks, have to raise billions of dollars this year. But investors seem increasingly reluctant to lend. That could blow the economic recovery off course. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Market Players.
The possibility of Greece going belly up is hitting world markets like a ton of bricks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 2% yesterday, closing below 11,000 at 10,991. The S&P 500 fell 2.3%. The Nasdaq dropped 2%. European markets not looking much better this morning. London's FTSE is off 0.6%. Germany's DAX is down nearly 1.5%. One bullish spot in all that bearish news is Goldman Sachs. The investment bank added nearly 0.2% yesterday. That despite the fact most of its executives spent the day on Capitol Hill getting grilled by lawmakers. Here to give us the skinny on what happened is our very own Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. She joins us live. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Nancy, why exactly were the Goldman executives hauled before the subcommittee?
Well, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations is investigating what part investment banks might have played in the financial crisis. Specifically, Goldman is accused of selling shaky investments to clients without telling them it was betting against those very same investments. Now, this is a Senate investigation. It has nothing to do with the Securities and Exchange Commission lawsuit filed earlier this month against Goldman.
So 11 hours of questioning. How did the Goldman bankers hold up?
Well, Stacey, they certainly looked stressed, but no one apologized. There were a lot of exchanges like this one we're about to hear between subcommittee chairman and Democrat Carl Levin of Michigan and Goldman CEO Lloyd Blankfein.
Is there not a conflict when you sell something to somebody and then are determined to bet against that same security, and you don't disclose that to the person you're selling it? You see a problem?
In the context of market making, that is not a conflict.
Now, that was Blankfein at the end there, and he told the subcommittee that sophisticated clients who bought risky investments were looking for risk, and that's what they got.
Well, I heard that some of Goldman's investments were described in rather colorful language.
to say the least, to Stacey. 11 read from an email between Goldman executives describing one investment product sold by Goldman as crap. And ooh, another word I simply can't say on the radio. but these words were used by Goldman's own employees again and again in emails that showed exactly what some executives thought of investments they were peddling.
Wow. Yesterday, the financial reform bill stalled in the Senate again. Did the Goldman hearing give Democratic lawmakers any momentum on that front?
We will find out today. The Senate is scheduled once again to vote on whether to start debate on the bill. Republicans have been filibustering the bill since Monday. Democrats simply haven't had enough votes to overcome the filibuster and proceed to the debate.
Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Nancy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Republicans, by the way, unveiled their own version of that bill yesterday. Among the changes, a bailout ban. No more too big to fail.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the New Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It seems ads are popping up in ever more exotic places. Airplane tray tables, bathroom stalls, even school buses. That one got the Federal Trade Commission's attention. It's worried about the effect those ads will have on kids. So it's launching a campaign today to teach kids how to deal with the Adapalooza. Alisa Roth reports.
The campaign is called Edmongo, and it's aimed at so-called tweens. There's an online game that's supposed to help kids recognize ads and understand what goes into making them. Janet Evans is an attorney in the FTC's advertising division. She says the campaign also includes extensive materials for teachers and parents. It's all about opening kids' eyes.
So that they come into it with a much better understanding of what the purpose of advertising is, how it works, and to teach them to be savvier consumers, to be critical, have a critical eye when they look at advertising.
It's not that earlier generations haven't been exposed to advertising, but there are suddenly so many more ways for marketers to target kids. Susan Lin directs the campaign for a commercial-free childhood. It's a national advocacy group, and she says the FTC is wasting its time.
The fundamental mission of advertising is to make us, you know, believe that we need these products. And that doesn't have to do with cognition. It has to do with our feelings and our emotions.
She says the U.S. lags far behind other industrialized countries in regulating ads to kids. I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, 7 years ago today, Apple launched its iTunes Music Store. Illegal file sharing was popular at the time, and many people thought iTunes would never get people to pay for songs. To date, iTunes has sold more than 10 billion songs. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.